Here's the editor of Lenswork Publishing, Brooks Jensen.
The old saying goes, you live, you learn. And I suppose if you don't learn, then you're just not paying attention. Because particularly with something like photography, we're going to make more mistakes than we make wonderful images. There's going to be more problems that are unsolved than there are the ones we do solve. Photography is a tricky business. And I think that's true because of the combination of science and technology on one hand and artistic expression and aesthetics on the other hand. And boy, did I learn this in 2009 when I first had an opportunity to photograph in China. I look back on that and I think that I assumed that the exotic landscape would create exotic pictures. And I was just dead wrong. One day in particular, we were photographing in the landscape on a day that was oppressively dreary and dull and gray, and there was lots of mist or perhaps pollution, I'm not sure which, in the air that was obscuring the distant landscapes, and they were some gorgeous things to photograph. And the resulting images that I made are pretty boring. At least when I look at them in my Lightroom catalog. We were at a place called, and I'll butcher this Chinese, I'm sure, Jinyunchandu, which is considered a real scenic area, sort of south and considerably west of Shanghai, close to the town of Lishui, where this big photo festival was happening. And I found that China was just fascinating. The trip was mind-boggling. It was great. I've been back several times now because I found it so interesting. But my photography from that trip in 2009 was anything but. And for years, I've ignored those images in my archives because I just couldn't let go of the experience. And here again, I was wrong. I was making judgments on not only my memory of the experience and the dull, gray day, but also when I looked at those images in my Lightroom catalog, they just looked awful. And partly was because I just didn't photograph very well, but also because of a bad strategy that I didn't really fully recognize had gotten in the way. Turned out the strategy wasn't a good strategy, it was a bad strategy, and that was bracketing. I had become aware in the early years of digital photography. My first digital camera, I think, was in 2004. So this is 5 years later. I'm still learning how digital photography works. And I had read somewhere about not blowing out the highlights. And my camera, at the time anyway, did not have zebra stripes to warn me about blown out highlights. So I decided I was going to bracket everything. And that would not only insulate me from a bad exposure, but it would insulate me in case a file got corrupt. I'd have two other files. And so I had set up my camera to shoot a 3-exposure bracket every time I clicked the shutter. The first exposure was underexposed a stop. The second exposure was underexposed a third of a stop. And the fourth exposure was overexposed a third of a stop. So 3 exposures every time I clicked the shutter. Well, one of the things that happened from this strategy was when I loaded all of my images into my Lightroom catalog and stacked them, which I always do because it eliminates some visual clutter and some duplicates. What I ended up looking at in Lightroom were all the exposures that were a full stop underexposed. Well, you do that kind of underexposure on a day that's dreary and dull gray and yucky, what you're going to end up with is things that you look at in your Lightroom catalog that are just awful, muddy, and sort of look hopeless. So I never looked at them. Now, just to set the context, I made 250 compositions, so roughly 750 exposures, but 250 pictures to choose from that I could do something with. But also, as a part of the context, keep in mind, these were all photographed 6 years before the concept of seeing in sixes and 6-image projects had occurred to me. And even more in the future was the idea of doing the PDFs that I now publish in my personal journal, Kokoro. So I was photographing more or less for doing prints, possibly folios, possibly individual matted and framed images, and looking at them in Lightroom, a full stop underexposed on a dreary day. It's no wonder, now that I look back on it, that I sort of just ignored all of those images and all the work that I had done that day visiting Jinyun Shandu, this spectacular bit of Chinese landscape. I just had no incentive to look at them. But this is where the story gets really interesting. Partly because of a shift in psychology that's necessary when we start thinking about digital processing versus analog darkroom processing with chemistry, but also a shift in how we approach the entire process of processing. I was being influenced to ignore all of these bad-looking images because I didn't like what they looked like. But that's not a good reason to ignore images in your Lightroom catalog. We have the power to do processing, to repair things, to alter things, to change things, to do processing that's way more powerful, perhaps, than when we made the photographs and pre-visualized what we might be able to do with them. Certainly the case here. Since these were all photographed in 2009, think of the changes that have taken place in digital processing, the improvements, not the least of which are things like noise reduction and the clarity control and tools that are in the software that we can use to salvage images that in a previous age of processing we probably would have just given up on. But today, the power of processing has incredible capabilities to completely change what something looks like. So it becomes important to pass judgment not on what the raw capture looks like, but what it can become with processing, with a little patience, with experimentation, sometimes with aggressive and radical processing. We can make something that's interesting. So slowly, unfortunately slowly, I've learned over the years not to make definitive judgments about an image in my Lightroom catalog based on its appearance, but rather based on its composition and content. I can always improve what something looks like and can recover images in some pretty amazing ways and make something that I'm very happy with. So improving its appearance is, well, easy. And if not easy, at least highly possible. But on the other hand, it can be an impossible challenge to change what it is. That is to say, the composition and content. So fortunately, when I look back at my Lightroom catalog, I realize that I paid critical attention to composition and to content when I've been out photographing that dates back 50 years. Even my analog photography days, when I look at those images, I generally find I'm pretty happy with the content and the composition. But the tonalities, the processing, the appearance of the image might be suspect. Well, in the old days of film, that often led to total failure because there was a limited amount of things that I could do in an analog darkroom to improve an image. There were certainly a lot of printers who were way better in the analog darkroom than I ever was. But for me, I needed a really good negative in order to get a really good analog print. But in digital processing, that sort of goes out the window. I can make a pretty good, certainly an acceptable print out of anything, assuming it's not too badly botched up. I mean, if it's totally out of focus, I might be in trouble. But if it's just a matter of shifting tones or using software to take care of older problems like noise in the shadows or a little deficient dynamic range, those things can be dealt with. So suddenly, the key question is not, does it look good? But rather, what can I make with this? Said another way, forget looking at the image as the camera captured it, the raw image, as it's imported into Photoshop or Lightroom or whatever you use for digital processing. Don't pay any attention to how that looks. Keep your creative mind's eye focused on what it can become, what you want it to look like, not what it does look like. And don't skip images because they don't look good without any processing. Makes perfect sense, of course, if you think about it for just a second, that of course it's going to look better after it's processed. That's why you're going to process it. But I found, particularly with these images from China, that it was too easy for me to fall into the quicksand of not being interested in an image because it didn't look good, because the tones weren't right, because it was underexposed. And as I was mentioning earlier, because I stack my duplicate exposures, I was by default looking at all the images that were on the top of every stack, and all of those were underexposed a full stop. Most of those I could probably process into a much better looking image. But if I'm struggling with shadow detail, I can always go to the bracketed exposure that's plus a third of a stop and probably get the shadow detail that I'm missing in the underexposed a full stop version. Now, by the way, I should also mention that I no longer bracket like that. I've decided that was sort of an overkill strategy, and I so rarely needed to use the bracketed exposures that it was just chewing up hard drive space and whatnot. So now my current practice is I still underexpose a third of a stop or so because I want to preserve highlight details, particularly in clouds and water and very high-key parts of the image like that. But with the use of zebras and the incredible dynamic range of today's cameras, I can almost without exception pull out enough detail in the shadow to create the look and feel of shadow rather than black hole in the paper. Besides, in the shadows, we don't need to see lots of detail. It's in the shadows. All we need is enough texture for us to visually understand that there's something there. So using that combination of criteria, I've gone back and looked at all these images from 2009 and started to play with the recovery steps necessary in processing to create something that's interesting. And out of the roughly 250 compositions that were captured that day of photography in China, I've identified five potential little seeing in sixes kind of sketches or projects that I think are going to work great. And so far, maybe knock on wood, but so far, I haven't lost a single image that I wanted to use because I couldn't process it to the right tones or to the tones that I thought worked with the subject and the project. So essentially, these 250 captures from a day of photography in China that I've ignored all these years, it turns out there's a bunch of those images that are kind of treasures and are going to help me complete some projects that I visualized in my mind's eye when I was in China thinking this will make an interesting photograph. And obviously, if I hadn't thought that, I wouldn't have made the raw capture. I wouldn't have composed the image and captured it. But I did, so I must have had some confidence in the way I was seeing and the subject matter and the possible stories I could tell with those images. It's just that they all got waylaid because, to my eyes, looking at the raw captures in Lightroom, they were discouraging. They were depressing. They were sort of the oppressively dreary and dull gray images in Lightroom that they were when I looked at it standing there in China. And that has shaped my thinking for years now, unfortunately, because I realize how silly that was. There are some really terrific images in that day's worth of work, and I'm in the process now of going through all of them and processing them and seeing what's there, and I'm very excited about it. And that excitement is based not on what they look like, particularly in the raw, unprocessed version of the images, but I'm excited about what they can become as I work through the processing that pushes these images to be closer in spirit to what I had visualized at the moment of exposure. So I guess the bottom line of this is if you have images that you're ignoring because they don't look good, maybe there's a treasure hidden in there If you give it a little attention and the processing that it might require in order to salvage it so that it looks more closely what your aesthetic interpretation of the scene was at the time.
Copyright 2026, Lenswork Publishing.